Welcome to the deep dive. Today we're going on an insect adventure.
Oh.
Yeah, we're diving into the world of moths.
Okay.
Not just any moths, though.
Right.
We're talking about the range-expanding moths of southeastern Sweden.
Interesting.
And I think you'll be surprised by what we uncover.
It's funny. We hear so much about insect decline these days,
Right.
and it can feel a bit doom and gloom,
Yeah.
but this deep dive actually offers a more hopeful perspective.
Exactly. We're going to be exploring some really interesting research.
Oh.
Yeah, from a 2023 article, it titled "Associations of 16-Year Population Dynamics in Range-Expanding Moths with Temperature and Years Since Establishment."
Okay.
It was published in the journal Insects,
Right.
and it's packed with insights about how these moth populations are changing and why.
Yeah, this study is particularly valuable because it uses a long-term data set spanning 16 years from 2005 to 2020.
Wow.
And get this,
What?
they looked at over 25,000 individual moths
25,000 moths.
representing 107 range-expanding species.
Okay, 25,000 moths. That's a lot of moths.
Yeah.
Can you paint a picture for us?
Sure.
Where exactly in southeastern Sweden was this research conducted?
The study focused on three sites, Nedre Ålebäck and Usby, both on the coast of Öland and Utlingen.
Okay.
Utlingen is a beautiful island off the coast.
Okay, so we're talking, what kind of landscapes are we talking about?
Meadows,
Okay.
farmlands,
Okay.
woods, and coastlines.
Okay.
Each location provides a unique habitat for these moths. And that diversity is actually what makes this research so compelling.
So they're not just looking at moths in one specific type of environment,
Right.
which gives us a much broader understanding of how these populations are doing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the findings are quite surprising.
Okay.
We often hear about insect decline,
Right.
but this study reveals that both the number of different species,
Okay.
what scientists call species richness, and the number of individuals within those species, their abundance,
Okay.
have actually increased significantly over these 16 years.
Hold on, that's pretty counterintuitive.
Yeah.
Most of the news about insects is pretty negative,
Rad.
but these moths are thriving.
That's right.
Wow.
This research adds to a growing body of evidence that suggests the story of insect decline is more nuanced than we often hear.
Okay.
Some species are struggling, but others, like these range-expanding moths,
Right.
are doing quite well.
Okay, that begs the question. Why are these moths bucking the trend? What's making them so successful in southeastern Sweden?
Well, one of the key factors identified in the study is temperature.
Okay.
It turns out that warmer years
Yeah.
are strongly correlated with higher moth abundance and faster population growth.
Ah, so these moths are like sunbathers. They like it hot.
In a way, yes.
Yes.
It seems these range-expanding moths are particularly well-suited to warmer temperatures, and they really benefit from those warmer years.
And this is interesting because the study region in southeastern Sweden actually experienced a significant temperature increase,
Right.
a full 1.5 degrees Celsius in the 30 years leading up to the study.
Yeah.
So the climate is definitely warming in that area, which could explain why these moths are doing so well.
Exactly. These moths are finding themselves in an increasingly comfortable environment,
Okay.
and it's allowing them to flourish. But the story is a bit more complicated than just temperature.
Okay.
The study also found that population growth rates depend on how long a species has been present at a site.
So how long they've been in the neighborhood, so to speak.
Precisely. Newly arrived species often experience a burst of rapid growth,
Okay.
but then things tend to slow down and stabilize.
That's interesting. It's almost like a boom and bust cycle. Why would that be happening?
Well, the researchers offer a couple of explanations. One is something called the enemy release hypothesis.
Okay.
Think of it like this. You arrive in a new town where nobody knows you. You're free to do your thing, no competition, no one to hold you back.
So it's like a fresh start. You can really spread your wings, so to speak.
Exactly. And that's what might be happening with these moths. They arrive in a new environment,
Okay.
free from their natural enemies, parasites, predators,
Right.
and their populations explode. But eventually, those enemies catch up
Okay.
and growth slows down.
It's like the party's over once the predators figure out where the buffet is,
I
right?
got it. Another explanation is resource limitation. Imagine these moth populations growing so rapidly that they start to outstrip the available resources.
Like, there isn't enough food or suitable habitat to support all of them.
Precisely, as these populations boom,
Okay.
They might eventually hit the ceiling of what the environment can support,
right,
leading to slower growth rates. The study provides a concrete example of this pattern with the Yucarta virgo moth,
okay,
a species that showed this rapid initial growth followed by stabilization at lower numbers.
It's fascinating how, even within a larger trend of increasing populations, there are these smaller scale dynamics playing out.
Yeah.
It shows how complex these ecological relationships really are.
And, you know, it's not just about the number of moths.
Okay.
The study also highlights the arrival of new species.
Okay.
A whopping 32 species were recorded for the first time in the region during this study period.
Wow.
It really paints a picture of these moths as pioneers.
Right.
Constantly expanding their range and adapting to new environments.
This is making me think of those maps that show how species distributions are changing over time.
Right.
It's like you can see these moths pushing the boundaries, inching further and further north as the climate warms.
Yeah.
Which brings up a question. Where are all these new moths coming from?
The study suggests they're likely migrating from continental Europe.
Okay.
Or even the very southern tip of Sweden.
Okay.
Venturing northwards as conditions become more favorable. And among these newcomers, there's one that's particularly noteworthy. The Eublema purpurina moth.
Okay, that name sounds pretty exotic. What's so special about this particular moth?
Get this. It was the first ever record of this species in all of Sweden.
Wow.
It's like these moths are rewriting the entomological map of the country.
That's pretty amazing. It really highlights the power of these seemingly small creatures to adapt and spread. But I have to admit, when I think of moths, I usually just think of them like fluttering around lights at night.
Right.
Are they really that important in the grand scheme of things?
That's a great question. And it's one that many people have.
Right.
But trust me, moths are far more important than we often realize.
Okay, I'm all ears. Tell me why we should care about moths. What makes them so important?
Well, for starters, moths are incredibly important pollinators.
Really?
They play a crucial role in ensuring the continuation of plant life.
Okay.
And we often overlook that
because
we're so focused on bees and butterflies.
I never really thought of moths as being major pollinators. Are they pollinating different types of plants than bees and butterflies?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
And it leads us to another fascinating aspect of these moths that we'll explore in the next part of our deep dive.
Welcome back to the deep dive. We're right in the middle of our moth mystery, exploring how these range-expanding moths are making a new home for themselves in southeastern Sweden. Before we dig deeper into their role as pollinators, let's rewind for a second and talk about this idea of enemy release.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
The enemy release hypothesis.
Right.
It's a fascinating concept that helps explain why some species can experience such rapid population growth when they arrive in a new environment.
Yeah, it's almost like they have a competitive edge because they don't have the same predators or parasites holding them back, right?
Exactly. Imagine a group of moths landing in a new area where none of their usual enemies exist.
Right.
It's like having a free pass to multiply and spread, at least for a while.
So they're enjoying this predator-free buffet, but it can't last forever.
That's right. Eventually, those natural enemies like parasites and predators will likely catch up. They'll find their way to this new environment, maybe through natural dispersal or by following their prey.
It's like the predators are on the trail, sniffing out a new food source.
Right.
And as those predators and parasites establish themselves, they'll start to put the brakes on the moth's population growth.
Exactly. We see this pattern play out in other species, too, especially those that are considered invasive.
Right.
Often there's an initial boom, and then things start to level out as the ecosystem adjusts.
So it's not just a moth phenomenon. It's a broader ecological principle at play.
Absolutely. And it highlights the interconnectedness of nature.
Mm-hmm.
No species exists in isolation. The arrival of a new species can trigger a cascade of effects throughout the ecosystem.
Right.
As predators, parasites, and even competitors adapt to this new presence.
Speaking of adaptation, one of the things that struck me about this study was the idea that these range-expanding moths are being driven, at least in part, by warming temperatures.
Right.
If the climate continues to warm, does that mean these moths are just going to keep spreading?
It's certainly a possibility. And it's one of the reasons why this research is so important.
Mm-hmm.
By understanding how these moths are responding to climate change, we can start to make predictions about what might happen in the future.
It's like we're getting a glimpse into the future of these ecosystems.
Exactly. Yeah. And that knowledge can help us make informed decisions about how to manage and conserve these ecosystems.
Okay.
Especially as the climate continues to change.
Okay, so we've talked about temperature, we've talked about predators, and now I want to circle back to something we touched on earlier, the role of moths as pollinators.
Mm-hmm.
You said that moths are often overlooked as pollinators because we tend to focus on bees and butterflies. But are moths actually pollinating different types of plants than those more well-known pollinators?
That's a great question. And the answer is, yes, they often do. While there is some overlap, moths tend to be more active at night, which means they're pollinating a different suite of plants than those that are primarily pollinated during the day.
Ah, so they're working the night shift, so to speak. That makes sense considering moths are often associated with darkness and nighttime.
Exactly. And many plants have actually evolved to be pollinated specifically by moths. They often have pale-colored flowers that are more visible at night.
Okay.
And they release their fragrance in the evening to attract these nocturnal pollinators.
So it's like they're sending out a special invitation to the moths, come pollinate me.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And this nocturnal pollination is incredibly important for maintaining biodiversity. It allows a whole other group of plants to reproduce and thrive.
That's amazing. I never realized that moths played such a significant role in the ecosystem, especially at night. It makes you wonder what other hidden processes are happening under the cover of darkness.
It's a reminder that there's so much we still don't know about the natural world, and that even the seemingly smallest creatures can play vital roles.
Speaking of small creatures playing vital roles, this study identified a whole bunch of moths that are considered pests.
Right.
What are the implications of that, especially considering that these moth populations seem to be on the rise?
That's an important point, and it's one that we need to consider carefully. While not all range-expanding moths are pests, some of them can cause significant damage to crops and forests.
Can you give us some examples of these potential troublemakers?
Certainly. One notable example is the Euproctis chrysaria moth.
Okay.
It's a real problem for orchards in continental Europe.
Right.
And it's now showing signs of becoming established in southeastern Sweden.
Imagine the damage to fruit crops if this species really takes hold.
Right.
It could have a major impact on agriculture in the region.
Exactly. And there are others too, like the Heliothis armigera moth, which is a highly damaging pest of various crops. It's been observed almost yearly in the latter part of the study period, which suggests that it's finding favorable conditions in this region.
So we have this situation where some moth populations are increasing and some of those moths happen to be pests.
Right.
Does that mean things are going to go from good to bad?
Well, it's not necessarily a straightforward equation.
Yeah.
While some of these moths can be pests, it's important to remember that they also play important roles in the ecosystem. They're pollinators, they're food sources for other animals. It's a complex web of interactions.
It's a reminder that even within a species, there can be a range of impacts,
mm-hmm.
both positive and negative.
Right.
And it's our job to understand these complexities so we can make informed decisions about how to manage these ecosystems.
Exactly. The key is to find a balance. We need to be aware of the potential risks posed by these pests, but we also need to appreciate the valuable roles that moths play in the ecosystem.
It's a delicate dance, isn't it?
It is.
Trying to find that sweet spot where we can promote biodiversity while also protecting our crops and forests.
And that brings us to a really interesting point that we'll delve into in the next part of our deep dive, the impact of these moths on the overall ecosystem.
Welcome back to the deep dive. We're wrapping up our exploration of these fascinating range-expanding moths in southeastern Sweden. It's been quite a journey, hasn't it?
It really has.
We've gone from worrying about insect decline to discovering that some moths are actually thriving, thanks in part to warmer temperatures.
Yeah, it's amazing how one research article can really shift our perspective.
It is, yeah.
We often hear such simplified narratives about the environment.
Right.
But the reality is always more complex.
Yay.
And nuanced.
And this research has really highlighted that complexity. We've learned about the enemy release hypothesis.
Right.
Resource limitations, the delicate balance between beneficial moths and pest species.
Yeah.
And even the fascinating world of nocturnal pollination.
It's a reminder that even seemingly small and insignificant creatures like moths can have a profound impact on the ecosystem.
Speaking of impact, let's talk about the bigger picture. If these range-expanding moths continue to increase, how might that reshape the ecosystems of southeastern Sweden?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's one that ecologists are actively studying.
Yeah.
We can speculate based on what we know, but the reality is that ecosystems are incredibly complex.
Right.
And dynamic.
So there's no easy answer.
Not exactly. But we can consider some possibilities. For example, as these moths continue to expand their range, they might interact with new plant species.
Okay.
Potentially altering the composition of plant communities.
So we could see new plant-pollinator relationships emerging.
Right.
Potentially leading to changes in the abundance and distribution of certain plants.
Precisely. And those changes could ripple through the food web.
Wow.
Affecting herbivores, predators, and even decomposers.
Okay.
It's a fascinating domino effect.
And we also have to consider the potential impact of those pest species we talked about earlier. If those populations continue to grow, could they reach a tipping point where they cause significant damage to crops and forests?
Yeah, it's certainly a valid concern. And it's one that highlights the need for continued research and monitoring.
Okay.
By tracking these population trends, we can hopefully identify any potential problems early on and develop strategies for mitigating the risks.
It's like we're playing a game of ecological chess.
Yeah.
Trying to anticipate the next move and make sure we're staying ahead of any potential threats.
A very apt analogy.
Yeah.
And this study provides valuable pieces for that chessboard. It gives us a better understanding of these moths,
okay,
their population dynamics, and their potential impacts on the ecosystem.
So what's the take-home message for our listeners? What do we want them to remember about this deep dive into the world of moths?
I think the biggest takeaway is that the natural world is full of surprises. We often hear about insect decline, and it's certainly a real concern. But this study reminds us that there are always exceptions to the rule. Some insects, like these range-expanding moths, are actually thriving in a changing world.
And those thriving populations can have ripple effects throughout the ecosystem, both positive and negative. It's a delicate balance that we need to understand and manage carefully.
Exactly. And that understanding starts with curiosity. Taking the time to learn about these creatures, even the seemingly small and insignificant ones, can lead to profound insights about the world around us.
So the next time you see a moth fluttering around a light, take a moment to appreciate its beauty and its complexity. And remember that it's part of a much larger story, a story that's still unfolding.
A story that's full of wonder, mystery, and endless possibilities. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.